Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Myco X Limited quarterly investor call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Peter Rowland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Amanda. Welcome, everyone. I'm Peter Rowland, and I'm pleased to welcome you all today to Myco X's latest quarterly investor call. In the call today, I will provide some commentary on our activities during the quarter ended December 2020, which we outlined in our Appendix 4C filed with the ASX on Wednesday, the 20th of January. I will also provide some details on our future plans and outlook over the coming year before we open up to questions and answers. For those that are not able to attend, a recording of this call will be on our website shortly. We hope that this call continues to provide you with additional information about Myco X and lets you hear about our progress. Now, before we begin, I'd like to welcome our Chief Financial Officer, Kingsley Hall, who's with me today here on the call.
Thanks, Peter. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be speaking with you again this morning. Before we commence, I would like to cover off on one brief formality. I'd like to remind everyone on today's call that the call may contain forward-looking statements which involve inherent risks and uncertainties. Those risks and uncertainties include those disclosed in our ASX lodgement, which we recommend that you review. While there are reasonable grounds for any forward-looking statements made today, due to their inherent uncertainties, we do recommend that you do not place undue reliance on those statements, and you note that actual results may, of course, differ materially from those forward-looking statements. I'll now hand back to Peter to run through the highlights for the quarter.
Thanks, Kingsley. Firstly, let me begin by saying what an extremely exciting quarter we've just had on a number of fronts, from both a commercial and product development perspective. Looking back, and a number of shareholders have also commented on this to me, we seem to have passed an inflection point in our growth with key developments across almost every aspect of our business. I'll start by running you through the highlights of our two mobile DR commercial products, the Nano and the Rover. I might just first explain that here a subtle change in our naming terminology and how we think about this line of business now that our relationship with Carestream is no longer exclusive. Nano is, of course, Carestream's name for the DRX Revolution Nano, a product where we supply the X-ray card on an OEM basis to Carestream, who then add their detector and software and market and distribute it to end users as a Carestream product. Now that we are free of exclusivity obligations, we've started the process of establishing a number of new, similarly structured OEM distribution deals with other major global radiology suppliers who will add their own detectors and software, and we expect each of these will adopt their own unique name for their version of the product, as well as their own corporate livery. We believe that competitive offerings in the market and competing pricing to end users will help develop market awareness and acceptance of this new technology to build sales volumes. Rover is the brand name that we've adopted for the Myco X proprietary bedside imaging product, where Myco X supplies the entire mobile imaging system, including software and detectors, which we've sourced from different suppliers, and where Myco X holds the regulatory approvals and has its name on the compliance plate. Our original target market for Rover was for deployed military applications, for which we've designed in a number of ruggedization and other features which optimize its utility for the military. However, we are now able to sell Rover as a Myco X branded product for other markets and applications, either with or without the ruggedization features. And of course, we can now secure the higher revenues from selling the complete X-ray imaging product. Both Nano and Rover, and indeed any future bedside imaging product variants, are built on the same production line at Tonsley, and we'll be referring to these collectively as Mobile DR, which is an industry term for digital mobile bedside imaging units. This quarter is one of the strongest we've had to date for Mobile DR, with over $2 million in revenue for Nano and Rover units, which we've built and shipped. Part of this was the $1.4 million contract for the sale of Rover units to a number of Pacific Island nations, which was facilitated by the World Health Organization. Not a bad launch customer for our new mobile X-ray unit, with special features for use in remote areas. If we look at the calendar year of 2020, as the normal sales cycle in the industry, our mobile DR revenue was actually 5.5 million. Now, the timing for orders for Nano remains sporadic and is anchored, our business is anchored around fast turnaround and shipment, which is in a market still dominated by COVID-19 related purchasing. A key part of our achievement in mobile DR in 2020, to which I must pay tribute, is our fantastic production team, who, for instance, worked tirelessly on 12-hour shifts right up to Christmas Eve this last year to ensure targets were met and orders were delivered. Our strategy adopted in early 2020 to increase production capacity and inventory levels to be able to offer short delivery times has continued to pay off, especially with the escalating COVID-19 situation experienced globally. As we've evolved into a multi-product company, so have our strategies to access markets and our distribution arrangements. As I referred to earlier, we've removed the exclusivity provision in our worldwide distribution agreement with Carestream for the Nano, which has allowed us to seek additional partners and paths to market for our mobile DR product line. Both companies, MicroX and Carestream, continue to work collaboratively together, and we anticipate a healthy level of Nano orders in the coming months based on the pandemic current situation. The quarter also brought about signature of our first military contract for $1.4 million of rover sales to the Australian Defence Force as part of their program JP2060 to replace their deployable health capability. A signing ceremony with the prime contractor, Saab Australia, was held at our Tonsley facility in December with their managing director, Andy Keogh. The ADF helped create the rover product with an initial development contract some years ago, and so we are pleased that its adoption now into ADF service recognizes its unique performance in a deployable weight, and we expect this to set a precedent for future military contracts in other geographies. Must emphasize that this contract is a critical foundation for our marketing and sales efforts of Rover to the US Armed Forces, because it allows government-to-government discussions to occur via the Australian Embassy in Washington, D.C., to provide product and technology testimonials in support of the Australian Army's choice and initial sponsorship of the Rover product. To that end, we've already sent two Rover units to be used in a number of planned product demonstrations to the operational U.S. Army units which deploy medical field hospitals. The first of these demonstrations, set for early February, will be conducted by our U.S.-based MicroX team. After this, the rover will undergo a two-week operational evaluation at the Army base as a next step towards possible procurement by the U.S. military. Closer to home, we continue to await approval for the listing of the rover on the Australian Register of Therapeutic Goods. Once approval is received, we anticipate further domestic sales opportunities. We've also begun the steps to achieve CE marking for a European market launch. From a development perspective, we've continued to make good progress with our high-powered generator project. This is a critical new technology for us, and I'm pleased to report we expect to have an integrated benchtop prototype operating by next month. Pre-production tubes and generators will be powering rover units during Q2, after which they'll undergo compliance testing. Cost saving anticipated from this new design and from its manufacture in-house in Tonsley is also on budget. The IED X-ray camera, a mobile backscatter imager, is our next product in development, and its new imaging architecture is looking extremely exciting. At the company's AGM, we showcased the initial images from our prototype testing, which confirmed the success of our new imaging architecture. This new design is now greatly simplified, which has also de-risked the product development and reduces the weight, size, and cost of the final product. Most importantly, the estimated time to market has been shortened from 30 months to 12 months. The imaging test showed much better image resolution and a 3 times faster scan time compared to the original multi-beam design prototype we developed and demonstrated 3 years ago under the contract for the Australian Department of Defence. These developments will help increase the addressable market of the final product, currently estimated to be $1.8 billion, as the camera can now be carried and used by much smaller EOD robots. Another benefit of this new design approach is the massive de-risking of the X-ray tube. The simplification of the design means that we only now require a very simple, low-cost X-ray source. This, of course, has materially impacted the scope of work for the X-ray tube collaboration that we have with Thales, and the implications of this remain under discussion between the companies. We target to have a representative prototype ready for first customer demonstrations by the end of calendar year 2021, and expect production readiness mid-calendar year 2022. A patent application for this new imaging architecture is also underway. Now onto our brain tomo project, which involves developing a miniaturized brain imaging CT scanner, both small enough and inexpensive enough to fit into any land or air ambulance. The current mobile stroke unit operated by the Royal Melbourne Hospital uses a conventional technology, 8-slice rotating CT scanner, which can detect and image bleeds as small as 2 to 3 millimeters. This sets the standard of care for hemorrhagic stroke diagnosis. Through our development process, we've benchmarked our multi-beam tomography solution against this standard. Recent advances in MicroX's image reconstruction algorithms were trialed with varying volumes of blood. The imaging tests, which were conducted in December, used test objects representative of the human brain and skull, and we're able to detect 4-millimeter bleeds. This indicates that the technology is already very close to meeting the current standard of care. Initial system simulations run by the Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore match these results and indicate that with additional system and algorithm optimizations, imaging bleeds of less than 1 millimeter could be achieved by this technology. We continue to await the funding decision from the federal government's Medical Research Future Fund regarding the Australian Stroke Alliance's Phase 2 proposal for the Frontier Health Program. The Australian Stroke Alliance anticipates an announcement will be made later in this quarter. Big news, of course, we were enormously pleased to have been selected by the US government's Department of Homeland Security for 2 contracts, totaling $4 million, to develop a new concept for an airport passenger self-service security checkpoint. This program relates to the TSA's future vision of replacing conventional CT or projection X-ray luggage imaging using the familiar belts and tunnels at checkpoints, with instead a bank of multiple self-service security portals. In the light of this, our US operation has started to recruit a number of high caliber candidates with strong technical capabilities who will be able to attain US government security clearances and help support our growth in the US. We've begun negotiations for new premises in Seattle and look forward to opening our US headquarters there in the coming months. Internally, we've strengthened our current back office system, and the team have been actively implementing a new ERP system, Pronto, which went live this week. On a corporate note, David Knox has now become chairman of the MicroX board, and we are thrilled that Jim McDowell has rejoined the board as non-executive director following his 2 years as chief executive of the South Australian Government's Department of Premier and Cabinet. Both bring exceptional commercial experience and will greatly strengthen our board. I'll now hand over to Kingsley to run through the financial and other corporate activities for the quarter.
Thanks, Peter. I'll start by summarising the results recorded in the quarterly activities and cash flow report lodged with the ASX with our Appendix 4C on the 20th of January 2021. The results and the numbers I'll be speaking to are all in Australian dollars, and in accordance with ASX listing rules, these have not been audited. So for the quarter ended 31 December 2020, we shipped and invoiced $2 million worth of mobile DR units, being the Nano and Rover systems. We received a total of $1.62 million of receipts from customers. On top of this, we also received net GST receipts and COVID-related government assistance totaling $680,000. Cash outflows from operations was $4.8 million, resulting in net operating cash outflows of $2.55 million. Cash outflows from investing activities was just $88,000, mainly to purchase capital equipment to assist with product developments and rover and tube manufacturing capacity, and also some small costs associated with intellectual property payments. Overall, we had net cash outflows for the quarter of $2.64 million, and at 31 December 2020 had a cash balance of $12.8 million. In addition to that, we also received $1.95 million in the form of an R&D rebate in the first week of January. The company continues to carry out active measures to maintain both nano and rover production levels and development activities for upcoming products, whilst carefully balancing its cash runway. Peter, back to you.
Thanks, Kingsley. Moving forward, our focus for the immediate future is on maintaining sales momentum with both rover and nano products, especially with the current state of the pandemic. The development of new distribution partnerships and paths to market is a priority. We remain determined to overcome the logistics challenges posed by COVID-19 in the US and will showcase the rover across a number of US military bases, with the first demonstrations taking place in early February. We expect the two-week operational trials will be successful and give the Army units sufficient time to appreciate the unique performance of Rover compared to other deployable devices. Additionally, we are developing new sales opportunities for the Rover with point-of-care opportunities and the veterinary market. We've seen small animal veterinary hospitals increasingly upgrading from film to digital imaging. We intend to explore this opportunity further. Over the next few months, we'll be working closely with the TSA to complete the necessary administrative steps prior to contracting in preparation for the project's launch, scheduled for April 2021. We also look forward to the official opening of our new US office in Seattle as we recruit and expand the MicroX team there. In the near term, we also anticipate a decision from the federal government on the Australian Stroke Alliance grant submission for our stroke CT imaging project. We've put a lot of work into the proposal, which will lead to a major new product opportunity for MicroX with huge addressable markets. The Australian Stroke Alliance remains cautiously optimistic about the consortium submission. So in summary, we have a number of significant and exciting commercial initiatives in the pipeline. I'll now pass you back to the operator, who will commence the question and answer portion of this call.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Sven Restel from Logan Partners. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, Peter. It's Sven from Logan Partners. Just one question quickly. Can we expect more orders from the WHO? And do they take a cut when they get the contracts?
Probably not appropriate to sort of comment on the commercial side of that. But yes, look, we're very very hopeful that there's some more opportunities in that kind of business with if not with the World Health Organization, with other grant and aid. Two of our Australian sales last year were actually made by the Department of Foreign Affairs as a grant program, which went into Vanuatu. So we're very keen to explore more ways of doing that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Scott Power from Morgans Financial. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Peter and Kingsley. Just a couple of quick questions. Just an update on the CE mark TGA for the rover. And maybe that question first, please.
Okay. Look, as you probably know, the European registration is in a change period at the moment because it used to be governed by the Medical Device Directorate. But they've introduced these new medical device regulations, which require a new environment, requires requires auditing. And of course, you can only be audited by about seven notified bodies around the world. So every medical device manufacturer around the world is scrambling to get on the schedule to get the audit. We're rather pleased because we've been working with our notified body, which is a BSI, over many months providing information, and we now actually have a scheduled date for our MDR audit in March. Actually coincides with our annual two-yearly audit for the ISO 13485. So that audit will happen in March, and hopefully after there the process to become accredited then to the medical device regulations, and from that we can submit the technical file for Rover fairly quickly, and secondary products then follow a self-certification regime, a bit like the old medical device directorate used to. So very, very close to getting that sorted, and that's a very important criteria, not just for Rover, but all the developmental variants that that we'll have as we open up new distribution lines.
Great, thank you. And just quickly, assuming you're successful with the federal government grant, how long do you think that process will be to work the brain imaging through to some sort of successful prototype?
The schedule we've got at the moment is 2 years to get the first prototype. Because the plan is to do medical imaging, you have to do the design in according to the full regulatory environment as if it was a full engineering development. So obviously we're ISO 13485 accredited as our process, so it'll be a properly designed and documented process to produce the prototype. From there we go to human imaging trials. And I mentioned the comparison with the 8-slice conventional CT. There is a possibility that the FDA might accept that as a predicate device, even though a helical CT works very differently from our cone beam tomography solution. If the image is the same or better, then and we've proved that we're almost there. There's a chance that you won't have to do the full trial, but enough imaging to support a 510K using a 8-slice CT as the predicate device. So that would greatly shorten the project.
Great. Thank you very much, Peter. That's all from me.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will pause as we wait for participants to join the queue. Your next question comes from Mark Pachance from BioShares. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Peter and Kingsley. Just give you more information about the office you're opening or expanding in Seattle, and what the staff there will be doing. Will they be predominantly selling into the military or doing other things?
Yeah, the prime motivator there is we want MicroX's international expansion on a kind of a multi-domestic basis. Obviously, the US is a really big focus for both medical and security products. So we actually tendered to the TSA, Department of Homeland Security, through our U.S. subsidiary, MicroX Inc. So we will run that project from there in a project management sense, and Seattle will subcontract Adelaide for the main development activities. So what we're going to build up there is the unique capability on some of the sensitive software associated with automated threat detection. Obviously, the algorithms to look at and identify threats in an X-ray image of carry-on luggage is somewhat sensitive in terms of you know, the government's identification of the hazards and the potential terrorist threat. So we know that they're going to be much more comfortable dealing with U.S. citizens with U.S. clearances for that sensitive area. So we'll be developing a little center of excellence in that threat detection, and we'll manage that project. Having got the base, of course, there, we're going to use that to stage our medical product there, so we can offer, you know, faster delivery from Seattle to U.S. customers. And of course, all our marketing and sales activities for the military, and indeed now moving into the VA hospital network and other commercial hospitals, we can base that out of the same office. So it's not going to be a huge office, but strategically very important to really maximize our chances of success in the U.S. In the U.S. area.
Yep. With getting other distributors for the mobile DR, is there much interest there from distribution companies?
Yes. Yeah, the words got out, and actually we've got companies cold calling us to see if there's some possibilities. So we're having a number of discussions. Obviously, for each of those major companies, you know, taking a new product into their stable, and you know, involves their product planning and, you know, planning their stable of offerings that they do. So it's not a quick process, but it's a process that we'll be going through in the coming months, and with, you know, most likely the new launches in the back half of the year as the you know, in the run-up to the big RSNA, which is still the kind of launch time mark in the sand for new products.
So they still need to get approval for that product, putting your system into their X-ray system.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And what's that? How long is that process? Is that?
Well, it can be quite quick. We're doing an integration of a new detector and software at the moment, and we actually believe, particularly if the software and detector are already 510K approved or CE marked, you can actually in the FDA environment do a note to file following a risk analysis, so you don't need to do the full application. That said, our last application where we integrated a Fuji detector into the rover, it took us 5 weeks. So, you know, we've obviously kind of nailed the FDA application process.
Yeah. Okay. And given we've heard Kingsley's forward-looking statement warning, can you suggest a timeline for when you might start selling the product directly into Australia and Europe? Is that sort of towards the end of the middle of the year?
Middle of the year, perhaps. Now that we've got a date for the audit, which is quite exciting, that's the big thing that we've been kind of waiting for. So, look, I mean, the process can take a little time after that, but that's the big thing.
And would you expect to sort of get any immediate sales, or would that be sort of a slow process where we need to go out there and talk to hospitals and bid for tenders?
Yes, because you don't want to do too much market development ahead of being able to supply, you know, because, you know, you get a hospital interested in the unit and they say, great, can we have a demo? And we say no. And, you know, they're all right, well. So it's actually, you know, you hit the ground. I mean, I think there's a lot of research that goes on, and we are looking at expanding our sales force, so that we know, you know, we've kind of warmed up some customers, and but the sales, the big sales push happens when you're able to demonstrate product.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will pause as we wait for participants to join the queue. There are no further questions at this time. I will now hand back to Mr. Rowland for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. So in closing, we're pleased that the initiative set out in previous quarters have helped us achieve $2 million of mobile DR units being built and invoiced in this past quarter, and over $5 million of revenue over the 2020 calendar period. Our pipeline of security products focused around the detection of IEDs and airport self-service security have also advanced well. We believe we've set the groundwork to continue stronger results this and next financial year as these multiple initiatives see revenues taking off. Thank you again for your patience and support of MicroX and for joining us on our investor call. I look forward to speaking with you again shortly to report on our progress.